It was about dusk one evening, during the supreme madness of the carnival season, that I encountered my friend. He accosted me with excessive warmth, for he had been drinking much. The man, he wore motley. He had on a tight-fitting party striped dress, and his head was surmounted by the conical cap and bells. I was so pleased to see him that I thought I should never have done wringing his hand. My dear Fortunato, you are luckily met. How remarkably well you are looking today. But I have received a pipe of what passes for Amontillado, and I have my doubts.
How? Amontillado? A pipe? Impossible! And in the middle of the carnival.
I have my doubts, and I was silly enough to pay the full Amontillado price without consulting you in the matter. You were not to be found, and I was fearful of losing a bargain.
Amontillado?
I have my doubts.
Amontillado?
And I must satisfy them.
Amontillado.
As you are engaged, I am on my way to Lucchese. If anyone has a critical turn, it is he. He will tell me.
Lucchese? You cannot tell Amontillado from sherry.
And yet some fools will have it that his taste is a match for your own.
Come, let us go.
Whither?
To your vaults.
My friend, no. No, I will not impose upon you your good nature. I perceive you have an engagement. Lucchese.
I have no engagement. Come.
My friend, no. It is not the engagement, but the severe cold with which I perceive you are affected. The vaults, they are insufferably damp, and they are encrusted with nitre.
Let us go. Nevertheless, the cold is merely nothing. Amontillado, you have been imposed upon. And as for Lucchese, he cannot distinguish sherry from Amontillado.
Thus speaking, Fortunato possessed himself of my arm, putting on a mask of black silk and drawing the rouge closely about my person. I suffered him to hurry me to my palazzo. There were no attendants at home. They had absconded to make merry in honor of the time. I told them that I should not be returning until the morning, and had given them explicit orders not to stir from the house. These orders, they were sufficient, I well knew, to ensure their immediate disappearance, one and all, as soon as my back was turned. I took from their sconces two flambeaux, and giving one to the Fortunato, bowed him through several suites of rooms to the archway that led into the vaults. I passed down a long and winding staircase, requesting him to be cautious as he followed. We came at length to the foot of the saint, and stood together on the damp ground of the catacombs of the Montresors. The gait of my friend was unsteady, and the bells upon his cap jingled as he strode.
The pipe?
It is farther on, but observe the white webwork which gleams from these cavern walls. He turned towards me, and looked into my eyes with two filmy orbs that distilled the room of intoxication.
Nitre?
Nitre, how long have you had this cold? My poor friend, he found it impossible to reply for many minutes.
It is nothing.
Come, Fortunato. We go back. Your health is precious. You are rich, respected, admired, beloved. You are happy as I once was. You are a man to be missed. For me, it is no matter. We will go back. You will be ill. I cannot be responsible. Besides, there is a Lucchese.
Enough. Oh, the cough is a mere nothing. It will not kill me. I shall not die of a cough.
True, and indeed, I had no intention of alarming you unnecessarily, but you should use all proper precaution. A draught of this Murdoch will defend us from the damps, eh? True, and indeed, I had no intention of alarming you unnecessarily, but you should use all proper precaution. A draught of this Murdoch will defend us from the damps, eh? Here, I knocked off the neck of a bottle, which I drew from a long row of his fellows that lay upon the mould. Drink, I said, presenting him the wine. He raised his lips with a leer. He paused and nodded to me familiarly while his bells jingled.
I drink to the buried that repose around us.
And I to your long life. He again took my arm and we proceeded. These vaults are extensive. The Montresors were a great and a numerous family.
I forget your arms.
A huge human foot, Dior. In the field azure, the foot crushes the serpent rampant whose fangs are embedded in the heel.
And the motto?
Nemo mi impune lacete.
Let none wound me with impunity.
The wine sparkled in his eyes and the bells jingled. My own fancy grew warm with the Merrock. We had passed through walls of piled bones with caskets and pigeons intermingling into the inmost recesses of the catacombs. I paused again, and this time I made bold to seize Fortunato by an arm above the elbow. The nitre, see, it increases. It hangs like a moss upon the vaults. We are below the river's bed. The drops of the moisture trickle among the bones. Come, come, my friend, we go back. It is too late, you cough.
It is nothing. Let us go on. But first, another draught of the Medoc.
I broke and reached him a flagon of De Greve. He emptied it at his breath. His eyes flashed with a fierce light. He laughed and threw the bottle upon a gesticulation I did not understand. I looked at him in surprise. He repeated the movement, a grotesque one.
You do not comprehend?
Not I.
Then you are not of the Brotherhood.
How?
You are not of the Masons.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
You? Impossible. A Mason.
A Mason.
A sign.
It is this.
You jest. A trowel. But let us proceed to the Amontillado.
Be it so, I said, replacing the tool beneath the cloak. And again I offered him my arm. He leaned upon it heavily. We continued to our route in search of the Amontillado. We passed through the range of low arches, descended, passed on, and descended again. Arrived in a deep crypt in which the foulness of the air caused our flambeau rather to glow than to flame. At the most remote end of the crypt, there appeared another less spacious. Its walls had been lined with human remains, piled to the vault overhead, in the fashion of the great catacombs of Paris. Three sides of this interior crypt were still ornamented in this manner. From the port, the bones had been thrown down and lay promiscuously upon the earth, forming at one point a mound of some size. Within the walls thus exposed by displacing the bones, we perceived a still interior recess, in depth about 4 feet, in width 3, in height 6 or 7. It seemed to have been constructed for no special use in itself, but formed merely the interval between the two colossal supports of the roof of the catacombs, and was backed by one of their circumscribing walls of solid granite. It was in vain that Fortunato, uplifting his dull torch, endeavored to pry into the depths of the recesses. Its termination, the feeble light, did not enable us to see. As he stepped unsteadily forward, while I followed immediately at his heels, in an instant he had reached the extremity of the niche. In finding his progress arrested by the rock, he stood stupidly, bewildered. A moment more and I had fettered him to the granite. His sinuous surface were 2 iron staples, distant from each other about 2 feet horizontal. From one of these depended a short chain, from the other a padlock. Throwing the links about his waist, it was but the work of a few seconds to secure it. He was too much astounded to resist. Withdrawing the key, I stepped back from the recess. Pass your hand over the wall. You cannot help but feeling the nitre. Indeed, it's very damp. Once more, let me implore you to return, no? No? Then I must positively leave you. But I must first render you all the little attentions in my power.
Amontillado.
True, the amontillado. As I say these words, I busy myself among the pile of the bones of which I have before spoken. Throwing them aside, I soon uncovered a quantity of a building stone and mortar. With these materials and with the aid of my trowel, I began vigorously to wall up the entrance of the niche. I had scarcely laid the first tier of my masonry when I discovered that the intoxication of Fortunato had in great measure worn off. The earliest indication I had of this was a low moaning cry from the depths of the recesses. It was not the cry of a drunken man. There was a long and obstinate silence. I laid the second tier, and the third, and the fourth, and then I heard the furious vibrations of the chain. The noise lasted for several minutes, during which, that I might hearken to it with the more satisfaction, I ceased my labors and sat down upon the bones. When at last the clanking subsided, I resumed the trowel. And I finished without interruption the fifth and sixth and seventh tier. The wall, it was now nearly upon the level with my breast. I again paused, and holding the flambeau over the mason work, threw a few feeble rays upon the figure within. A succession of loud and shrill screams, bursting suddenly from the throat of the chained form, seemed to thrust me violently back. For a brief moment I hesitated. I trembled. Unsheathing my rapier, I began to grope with it about the recess, but the thought of an instant reassured me. I placed my hand upon the solid fabric of the catacombs and felt dissatisfied. I reapproached the wall. I replied to the yells of him who clamored. I re-echoed, I aided, I surpassed him in all volume and strength. I did this and the clamor grew still. It was now midnight, and my task was drawing to a close. I had completed the eighth and the ninth and the tenth tier. I had finished a portion of the last and the 11th, and there remained but a single stone to be fitted and plastered in. I struggled with its weight. I placed it partially in its destined position. But now, there came from out the niche a low laugh that erected the hairs upon my head. It was succeeded by a sad voice, which I had a difficulty in recognizing as that of the noble Fortunato. The voice, it said,
"A very good joke indeed, an excellent jest. We will have many a rich laugh about it at the palazzo over our wine."
Amontillado.
Yes, the Amontillado. But is it not getting late? Will they not be awaiting us at the palazzo? The lady, Fortunato, and the rest. Let us be gone.
Yes, let us be gone.
For the love of God, Montessor!
Yes, for the love of God. But to these words I hearkened in vain for reply. I grew impatient and I called aloud, "Fortunato!" No answer. I called again, "Fortunato!" No answer still. I thrust the torch through the remaining aperture and let it follow within. There came forth in return only a jingling of the bells. My heart, it grew sick on account of the dampness of the catacombs. I hastened to make an end of my labor. I forged the last stone into position, and I plastered it up. Against the newer masonry, I re-erected the older ramparts of the bones. For the half of the century, no mortal had to disturb them. In pace requiescat.
That was The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe. Appearing in the production were David Subkowiak as Montresor, Paul Mannering as Fortunato. Music by Kathy Reynolds. www.podsafeaudio.com. Directed and mixed by Paul Mannering. BrokenSea.com.